Brother Steve said he had already done the Sunday school hour, the Sunday school lesson that he had done this morning. He had already done it earlier in Sunday school. I couldn't remember him doing it. And of course, I can't hardly remember what time I got out of bed this morning. Amen. But it was a good Sunday school lesson on committing your ways to the Lord and trusting in Him and some things we ought to commit to Him. And I said amen to every bit of it. Thank God for it. And I'm doing it again, Brother Robert. Am I up too high, down too low? As Brother Jerome says, if it's man-made, it's got problems. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter number 2 this morning. 1 John chapter number 2. We've been trying to preach through this book a little bit. And we want to try to get right on down through it, Lord being our helper. I want you to pray for me. I'm going to start doing some studies in the book of Hosea, in the book of Jude. And Lord willing, I'll start a series of preaching through those books. And hopefully the Lord will help us. He'll either help us or kill us, one of the two.
Amen.
That's for sure. Brother Nolan told me a long time ago, he said, if you want to split a church, then preach through the book of Proverbs. He said, I preached through it twice, and both times I preached through it, it caused a split. I said, well, I'm going to stay away from that one. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, 1 John chapter number 2, and a very, very, very familiar passage of Scripture to most of us that's been saved very long. And I'm sure you've had heard the verses quoted a number of times. If you've been saved any length of time, begin reading in verse number 15. Where the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things, boy, her hush fell already. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's very plain, isn't it? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away.
Amen.
I may not think of this thought when I get on that verse, but I want to say hallelujah right there.
Amen.
Because if the world passes away and all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that tells me when the world passes away, they'll pass with it. I never thought of that until just right now. I want to get that in. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now may the Lord add his blessings to that. Let's look to him in a moment of prayer, and we'll try to bring the thought. I've got a very, very, very long introduction and about a 3-minute message. Really. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us so far today. With the good Sunday school time, the good song service, the good spirit that I felt in my heart today. Thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you we got a copy of the King James Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can stand here today before your people and declare unto them the truth of thy word. Try to do our best to encourage them to live a holy, separated, dedicated life for thee. I pray that you'll provide liberty, Lord, in the house of God. I know the subject I'm dealing with. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me with it. I pray that the Spirit of God would direct every thought, direct the words of my mouth also. I pray that you'd give power and unction. Lord, we do pray you deliver sinners from the power of sin today. Separate your people. Revive the saints of God. Give us the grace and divine help that we need. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Now, I'm really thinking for our text verse this morning is out of verse number 15, where John the Beloved writes there, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's three verses in the text that I read, and I want to use one point on every verse when I get there, and then I want to, then after I get finished with that, I want to preach for a few minutes on this subject, the other side of the world. You know, there's another side to everything. There's another side to every coin that is made. There's another side of life. Some people live a life of sin and sorrow, while others live a life of joy and happiness. And there's one side of this building. There's also another side of this building. And so there is another side of the world. John says here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, and that is as plain as it can be, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, and we're in a strange situation as God's people. For the Bible said, Jesus said himself, ye are in the world, but ye are not of this world. That is, we're in this world, but the world did not beget us. We were not begotten of this world. We're not worldlings. We've been begotten of our Heavenly Father. We're in this world, but we are heavenly creatures living in an earthly society. And we're living in a place that is called the world. Your conscience, by the way, makes you aware of the fact that you're here. Your soul makes you conscious of eternity. And your spirit makes you conscious of the fact that you can communicate with Almighty God. So I want to try to preach on that, the other side of the world. Now, as we look at these three verses that I read this morning, I see a theme here that John continues to run down through chapter number 2. And I think it's very clear he's teaching here on the doctrine of love. I think that's very plainly being taught and ought to be able to be seen by all of us. He begins with man's responsibility to love God and then to abide in full subjection to God's Word. For he said in verse number 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And so he's talking about there us loving the Lord. And the Bible said we ought to love the Lord our God with all our mind, all our heart, all our body and soul. And so it is. God will play second fiddle to no one. And that is the first commandment, that we ought to love the Lord our God. Amen. For He is one God. Amen. You know, that was a problem with Israel. They sought after many gods. Amen. God said that they sought after the whoredoms of this world and the gods of this world. But it ought not ever to be that way. And especially to the church, because God says we are a chaste virgin. Amen. We're a chaste bride, espoused to one. And that is the Lord. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, He is deserving of all the love that we can possibly give Him. He is deserving of all the praise and the honor that we can give Him. Absolutely, He is deserving of our worship, for He's done for us what none other could do and what we could not do for ourselves. I'm glad, thank God, I've been lifted from the miry clay out of a horrible pit. I'm glad this morning that I've been saved by the grace of God. Then John goes on here, and he proceeds to tell us about our brotherly love, or the love that we ought to have for the brotherhood. For he says in verse number 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now, here in the text, John approaches the negative side of love. And I want to say that there is a negative and a positive side to the Christian life. It takes that, by the way, it takes a negative and a positive post to start a vehicle. And it takes negative and positive. It's not always negative in the Christian life. I hope I don't always preach negatively to you. I hope I preach some things in a positive way. There is a positive love and there is a negative love. There is a love that we're exhorted to do, and there is a love that we are prohibited from. And that love is the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I know somebody would say readily right offhand, somebody might say, preacher, what about verses 12 through 14? They don't have anything at all to do with love. When you preached through those, you told us that they dealt with the Christian growth. And I say, amen, they do. But on the same hand, I say they also deal with love. Because love is the highest virtue that you and I can attain as a child of God. Now, about these three, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is love. Now, I believe John sandwiched those three verses on the growth exactly where they are. God did for the very purpose to let us know that it's impossible to grow in grace and knowledge without loving God. You're not going to get very far in your Christian experience with a cold or a lukewarm heart. Our love for Him ought to be fervent. Some of you young fellas in here, I think you ought to be able to remember when you first married your wife. Oh, the flames of love burn high. But some of you, after a while, they begin to cool off. That's the same way it is in Christian life. When we first got saved, the flames of love burn high. But after we got saved, had been saved for a while, we kind of got used to the idea, and the flame began to die out. It ought never to be that way. Our love for the Lord ought to always be fervent. You know what He said to the church at Ephesus? He commended them in every way that He possibly could. And then He said, "But I have somewhat against thee." And that is that you have left your first love. Now, I'm telling you, one of our problems today is that we have left off loving the Lord. My goodness, we need some Marys in our churches that will love Him so dearly that they'll find themselves at His feet being taught of Him every day in their life and returning that love, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And you're not going far without loving God in your Christian growth. And neither are you going very far in your Christian growth without loving your brother. If you have hatred and animosity in your heart, you might as well hang it up. And I don't care who it is or what they've done against you. The Bible gives no place for us to despise or to hate anyone but the devil. And to hate sin. Amen. And most Baptists today, they want to fight with their brotherhood rather than fighting who we're supposed to, and that is sin and Satan and society. If we'd ever learn who our enemies are and who our friends are, we'd get somewhere in the world. And I'm saying you're not going very far in your Christian growth if you do not love your brother. Amen. And your neighbor is yourself. But I won't say thirdly. You're not going very far loving the world either. You can't set one foot in the world in sin and the other foot on the shore of holiness and expect to get very far with God. The Lord is clear there. Love not the world. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It didn't say it might not be in him. It said it is not in him. Absolutely. Amen. Now I want to read you something here. Pay close attention. This is not mine. This comes from a man named Candlish about the world. He said, the world. He said, it is the fallen human nature acting at itself under the influence of the devil. And how true that is. That world around you and that world that's around me is no more than our depraved nature acting out itself in the person of the devil. Now I want to say this, I might not get to this, but I want you to listen very carefully. The world is not always, as referred to here, is not always referred to as that which is without, as much as it is that which is within you and I. That depraved fallen nature, ladies and gentlemen, that dwells within you and I. Amen. If we were not sinners, if it was not for sin, the world would be a pretty good place to live in. And sin is not in the world. Sin is in sinners. That's why they need to be saved by the good grace of God. Now, listen carefully. I want to read that again. He said, it is the fallen human nature acting out itself in the influence of the devil, fashioning its framework of society after our own tendencies. He said it is the very spirit. Its very spirit is hostile to godliness. How true that is. The world is hostile to godliness. They have attacked every political figure that's come on the scene that names the name of Christ, That bunch of left-wing liberals, come on in the house now. That bunch of sodomite-loving, amen, gay-loving sodomites have always come out of you, and the news media have always come out against anybody that has named the name of Christ. You know why? They're of their father, the devil. And they're worldly. And the world is hostile to holiness. It doesn't want anything to do with it. Hostile to holiness. And it's dominated by carnal ambitions, by pride, avarice, self-pleasing, and sensuous desires and interests. That's all that's in the world. Sensuous desires and interests. Brother Andy said, they pay drunk drivers big money and want to haul race cars around. I don't doubt that one bit. Because you can probably go somewhere in America today if the temperature got warm enough and there'll be thousands gathered around a racetrack watching cars run around a little strip doing their heads like this. No wonder so many people's got arthritic necks. Amen. Come on in the house. What I'm saying is they'll desecrate God's day. They'll sell liquor on God's day. That's the world. They'll go to racetracks on God's day, ball games on God's day, and they always plan the Super Bowls and this bowl and the Orange Bowl, the Peach Bowl and the Cereal Bowl, amen, always around the Lord's day. I'm saying the world is hostile. The world is hostile to holiness. And is hostile to godliness. It's dominated by carnal ambitions, pride, and all that sort of stuff. It's selfish. Its pleasures are sinful, and its influence is totally demoralizing. If you don't think the world won't demoralize you, get out in it a little while. That's what's wrong. That's what's wrong with our country today. We have invited the world. And by the way, the devil is the prince of this world. And it's his influence acting out itself in the world. That's why God said, get out of the world. That is devilish influence out there. That is wicked influence out there that will demoralize you and bring you down to nothing. Amen. Come on now. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God, I'm fixing to get out in the middle out here. Hallelujah. He goes on to say the maxims which govern it, the springs which operate it, the ends which it seeks are earthly, sensual, and devilish, the world. Amen. Earthly, sensual, and devilish. And everything that functions in the world or makes the world move, makes the world, everything about it. And here's, and it's going, boy, I'm going to like this a minute. Its politics are corrupt. Amen. This man said this 200 years ago. Wonder what he'd think today. You realize that politicians today have spent over $400 million, amen, in the primary election to try to be a president? Tell me it ain't corrupt. Buddy, it's all corrupt, and all of them are corrupt. Two things I don't trust are politicians and car salesmen. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I don't trust them. Its politics are corrupt. Its honors are empty bubbles. You'll think the world is really doing you good. But it's no more than an empty bubble. Hot air that will soon vanish away. The Bible said, and the world passeth away. And the lust thereof. But they that do the will of God abideth forever. I'm talking about, and you're going to find that there's another side of the world. Amen to God. Hallelujah. It's empty bubbles. Its smiles are fickle. People think they're happy. You see them out there putting on a smile? It's fickle. In other words, it's fake. They're not really happy. Somebody said, how do you know? I've lived there. I've been on the dance floors when I thought, and honky-tonking boy when I thought I was having fun. But I realized nurturing a hangover wasn't nearly as much fun as what I thought it was going to be. Arguing and fussing and fighting with your wife. Arguing and fussing and fighting with your family. spending all your money and can't buy gasoline to go backwards and forth to work on, I'm telling you, the world will drain you of that. I won't charge you anything for this. If you get mad, you can get glad again. And we elected a Democrat governor that is going to put casino gambling in Kentucky to suck more money out of the poor people of Kentucky. Amen. And deprive their families of what they need to live on. Amen. That's right. Well, I don't believe in gambling. Praise God, I'm telling you right now. And I hope some of you Arabs didn't vote that way, but I'm afraid you did. Come on in the house. Its honors are empty bubbles. Its smiles are fickle. Even its own people. It is a thing of bitter disappointments, for it is full of illusions and fierce rivalries. All the world is an illusion. Amen. I've lived 61 years plus, and it's been like a dream. It's been like a flash in the night. It's been like a blade of grass that has sprung up and withered away. And men will give all of their substance to have pleasures in the world. And they'll have enough sense to realize that it's just a dream in the night. It's just a flash in the pan, for the world passeth away. And the lust thereof, but they that do the will of God abideth forever. What that Bible says, I'm in the book now. Hallelujah to God. Now I want you to listen to this little statement, and I'll try to get into the message. This statement in three little words, and I'll get into the message. Thomas Manton points out, he said, God does not require that we should love nothing. Oh, you're contradicting yourself, preacher. No, just listen. Or think of nothing but Himself. The state of life will not permit that. But God must have all of our heart. Amen. So that nothing, there is nothing beloved against Him. That is, we're not to love anything contrary to God. Amen. 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 That's right. Prohibited objects, sin and the world. They're prohibited. We're in the world. We must live according to some degree of the standards of the world for our substance and our sustenance and our living. But I'm here to tell you, we're not to love the world, and neither are we to love sin. God help you. We live in a society that's eat up with sin. Amen. Brother Steve made the comment the other day. He said, preacher, I'm about to get fed up with Fox News. He said, the only news they want to give anymore is stuff that's got to do with sex and this and that and one thing. He said, it's the pitifulest mess I've ever seen in my life. Amen. Talking about on the internet now. I said, well, amen. I'd have to agree with that. God, that's the kind of society that we're living in. And men, somebody said, well, preacher, people out there don't love sin. They love darkness more than they love light. That is why they will not come to God, and it's that way today. Amen. Because they know their deeds are evil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing beloved against God. That's right. For instance, the Lord said, told Adam and Eve, said, you can have every eat of every tree in the garden. But that garden, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, leave it alone. It's forbidden. Amen. It's prohibited. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? They're prohibited. Amen. From loving them. Amen. Come on in the house now. Hallelujah. There ought to be nothing above God or nothing that is superior to God's love. Listen to what it says. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he didn't say that you oughtn't to love your mother and your father. A lot of people misinterpret that. He didn't say, don't you love mother and father, love me. But he said, he that loveth father or mother more than me. What I'm saying is that God will not play second fiddle in anybody's life, ladies and gentlemen. He'll not take a second seat in your life. He is either number one in your life or he ain't going to be in your life. That is exactly right. Amen. Come on in the house now. Hallelujah. That's in Matthew 10:37, by the way. And there ought to be nothing love that's equal with God. For then our love is like a partial love. It's like a half love, divided between God and the creature. Now I want you to listen carefully. God said, you're to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
But that command to love the creature is a second command. We're to love God first.
Amen.
To love the creature is a second love. And we ought to love our neighbors as ourselves. But I'm here to tell you, friend, if you love the creature, come on now. Paul said in Romans 1, if we love the creature more than we love the Creator, then we've gotten way out of line. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I want to call your attention to three things very quickly. In verse number 15, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Come on now, somebody help me. That is a commandment. I know this is not popular. I don't even like to preach it. But it's here and we got to go through it. That's right. That is a commandment. That's not a suggestion. God does not suggest for us to leave the world alone. That is a commandment. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And I'm going to show you why. Loving the world makes us an enemy of God. God help us, and God forbid that anyone would ever want to become an enemy of God. You won't win the battle. You won't win the fight. I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of lost people out there. A whole lot of people dying and going to hell, and they think they're going to ultimately win the battle. But I'll tell you, if you die lost, you have lost the battle. You ain't going to win the war, ladies and gentlemen. You can't win against God. You'll either do it God's way or you'll die and go to hell. That's what the book says. There ain't two ways, there's one way. Somebody said, preacher, how do you know we'll be an enemy of God? Because James says so. James in 4 and verse number 4, he said, ye adulterers and adulteresses,
amen,
know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
Amen.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Amen.
He didn't say you had to love the world. He just said, be a friend of the world.
Amen.
Take on a friendly life to it. Enjoy what it has to offer. Suck your suds and chew your backer and smoke your weeds and smoke dope and take dope. Carouse and whorebone. Commit adultery and fornication. Listen to your rock music. Come on now. Praise God, it's preaching time this morning. Love not the world, neither the things. T-H-I-N-G-S. Things that are in the world.
Amen.
That's right. I'm telling you, love, there is a purpose for this. And that is because loving it makes you an enemy of God. Now I'm telling you right now, you're not going to win. Who can stay the hand of God? Who can fence off Almighty God? Who has the power to defend against His wrath? In the book of the Revelation, it says that it'll get so bad that men will hide their faces and crawl up in the rocks and beg the rocks to hide them from the face of the wrath of God that's coming upon mankind. I'm telling you, you can't win, folks. I'm telling you, that world out there is not our home. Sister Hall sang it right when she said, my heart is already home. Amen to God. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Praise God, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I am this morning like Abraham. Thank God I'm looking for a city that hath foundations whose builder and maker was God. I'm looking for a city that's got gates of pearl and streets of gold. Hallelujah to God. Walls of jasper set on 12 sure foundations. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm looking to see Jesus, who is the light of that city and the temple of that city.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Won't be a temple there. He's the temple of it. Won't be no sun or moon there. He'll be the light thereof.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Be no more hunger. No more sleepless nights. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more torment. no mental anguish, no physical pain, no afflictions, no temptations. And here, goody, 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 no more devil. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm waiting today to see him burn in hell. Amen. If you want to hate somebody, hate the devil. He is the culprit that's got us where we were. Depraved and lost, but thank God, on the other side of the world, here comes Jesus, hallelujah, marching down life's corridor with His own blood, praise God, to offer on the altar in heaven itself on the mercy seat. Thank God, on the other side of the world is Jesus, hallelujah to God. Amen. There's another side of this world. I won't say number two, the commandment, not only the purpose of that commandment, but by that commandment, that loving not the world, the pitfalls that we avoid. There's a lot of pitfalls in the world. Listen, and this is just one. Matthew 13:22, He also that receiveth seed among the thorns, the seed that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, it does two things to that man. It chokes the word. Strangles it to death. In other words, loving the world, one foot out in the world, will choke the life out of you. And it'll do that by choking the breath out of you. What is the breath but the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost that dwells in you is not a friend of the world. Now I'm telling you, loving that world and mingling in that world and running with that world and staying in that world too much will choke the Word of God. And it also becometh unfruitful. Barren. Standing at the judgment bar, judgment seat of Christ. And nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. God help us. God help us. The pitfalls. Buddy, I'm telling you, riches is a pitfall.
Amen.
Possessions is a pitfall.
Amen.
Fleshly desires are pitfalls.
Amen.
Come on in the house.
Amen.
Sensuality is a pitfall.
Amen.
I wonder how many men have sold their soul to the devil for 15 minutes in a bed with a woman.
Amen.
Come on. Wonder how many have sold their soul to the devil for a night on a bar stool.
Amen.
How many have sold their soul to the devil for pleasures of this life that will soon vanish away? But when they can find pleasures at the right hand of God that are forevermore. I'm going to tell you who, though, it's not what those pleasures are, it's who they are, and it's Jesus.
Amen.
He is at the right hand of God.
Amen.
He is our pleasure. He is our joy.
Amen.
He is our hope. He is our peace. He is our grace. He is our love. He is our hope.
Amen.
He's our door, the way, our truth. He's our resurrection. He's our life.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. He's our heaven. He's our bliss. He's our joy. He's our peace. He's our everything. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as old what's-his-name said, well, he's my king. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Amen
for Jesus, preacher.
Amen. Thank God. And then that commandment, if we obey it, the purpose, the pain that we escape. The pain. There's great pain in life without Christ. Great pain. Think of the disappointments of life. That young rich man in Mark chapter number 10 said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus went through the crowd. He said, all these have I kept from you. What must I do yet? Jesus said, go and sell all you have. Give it to the poor. Come take up your cross and follow me.
Amen.
And the Bible said that that young man went away. At that saying, he went away grieved.
Amen.
That's what it says in Mark. He went away grieved. And pain struck his heart for the rest of his life.
Amen.
Now, I want you to look. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying. He went away grieved. And I'm confident that the grief hung with him for a lifetime. I'm telling you, if you ever say no to Christ for your last time, it'll be grief forever. That young man went away grieved, but he could have went away. I'm about to run my head through the wall. He could have run away rejoicing. And rather than grieving throughout all eternity, he could have been rejoicing through all eternity, knowing that there was a new name written down in glory. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Pain, boy, there's pain out in the world. You're talking about a world full of hurting people, grieved people, broken people. And I'm telling you, their answer is Christ. Oh, yes, the answer is coming to Jesus.
Amen.
And then there's pain, not only in disappointments. That boy went away disappointed. But there's pain in departures. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul writing right before he died, he said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." I've heard preachers get up and preach that Demas was just backslidden. That Bible said, my text says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him."
Amen.
You want me to carry that on through biblically? The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us.
Amen.
That tells me if you know, hey, if you love the world, the love of God is not in you. The Holy Ghost is not home.
Amen.
You're lost.
Amen.
That's right. And I thought about, hey, that man at one time, Paul in Philemon 24 calls him a fellow laborer. In the book of Colossians 4:14, he's a companion of Paul in his labors. And now he's departed. I want to show you something. That fellow, when he departed, I could name you many that I've seen depart from God.
Amen.
And they're physically suffering pain. They are mentally suffering pain. They are spiritually suffering pain. And they will eternally suffer pain. Because they departed. But I'm going to tell you, it causes pain on both ends of the line. I wonder how Paul felt when he wrote that verse. Demas, it was my companion. Demas, it was my fellow laborer. He's departed. He's departed from me because he loved this world more than he loved God. Oh, some of you think, well, the preacher don't ever hurt. You don't know much about preachers. Yeah, they do hurt. And it grieves my soul to see a world out there that I'm not pleased with it at all. Some of you in here this morning will come in here lost and you'll leave lost. Do you think I'm pleased with that? I know what faces you.
Amen.
And some folks get their lives in such a mess,
Amen.
Twisted and tangled up in sin and the world and the devil. And it's like a rope strangling the life out of them and they can't seem to get away from it.
Amen.
Seems like sin's got them held in bonds and in shackles. And I'm telling you, there's only one! Woo! Thank God the Son of God can break those bonds!
Amen!
Amen. He can cut loose those shackles!
Amen!
Amen. Some are bound by shackles and shekels.
Amen.
You'll get that. You'll catch that after a while. You know what shekels is. I know some preachers that are bound by shekels.
Amen.
That makes them probably bound by shackles.
Amen.
Come on in the house. This pain followed his departure from truth and grief experienced by Paul. Then there's one more pain, and that's the pain of death. There was a rich man in Luke chapter number 12. said, I've got big barns and I've got them full. What am I going to do? And he said, I don't know what to do. He said, I'll tear down these big barns. I'll tear down these big barns and I'll build new barns and I'll fill them up and I'll say, soul, live in ease, for thou hast much laid up in store. I want you to get a hold of this, and I've never seen this. I tried to think of it last night to tell Miss Hall, but I've never seen it before in that verse of Scripture. And I'll give you the verse. I know I don't have to look down here and read it, but I want to make sure I know where the Scripture is at. In Luke chapter number 12 and in verse number... I don't have the verse. He said, I'm going to laugh. I've got all this laid up. I'm going to live and take my ease and live, drink, and be merry. Get this. But God said unto him.
Amen.
God didn't tell a preacher out there. Can you imagine that man pillowing his head and the words echoing in his heart? God said unto him, this night, you're not waking up in the morning. You go to bed tonight that this is your last night. That man went to bed knowing that death was on him. God said unto him, not his neighbor, not his preacher, not a deacon, not a friend. God said to him, this night, tonight, before you get up in the morning, you'll be in hell before you get up in the morning.
Amen.
God help us. Now, I see in verse 2 a certainty for all that is in the world.
Amen.
That's a very certain thing. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father but of the world. All. Not a little bit that's in the world. All that's in the world. All of it. And you know, I thought about this. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In my mind, in the context that it's written in, went right back to our three characters in Christian growth. Little children, young men, and fathers.
Amen.
And I thought about those little children being young people. Lust of the flesh. They crave, young people crave the flesh and the lust of the flesh. I want you, I may not ever get a chance to say this, but I want to say it again. And don't take me wrong when I say this, okay? We basically have two fathers. I'm talking about earthly fathers. Adam and Noah. All, everybody died but Noah and his family.
Amen.
So we all come out of Adam's loins, but the people that now are come out of Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Amen.
Every one of us.
Right.
Get this. They both fell into sin over the lust of the flesh. Adam over food.
Amen.
And Noah over drink.
Amen.
I'm telling you, friend, the lust of the flesh will get young people, the little children every time. And then when you get up in the years, like some of you, and I don't mean no harm with this, Brother Joel, Miss Shauna, I've been there. Brother Rick and his wife, Steve and his wife, some of you younger married couples in here, Miss Sharon and Robert, Sister Rickard and her husband, Jacob and Elizabeth. They want everything they see. Come on now. They want everything they see. They think they ought to have what Father's got. Now, don't happen that way. You better wait and let God give you what God wants to give you. And then I thought about those fathers and the pride of life. Look at me, praise God, I've lived through it. I've got her made, boy. Hallelujah to God. Get pride and puffed up. Pride and all puffed up. And I thought of three examples of that, and I've got to hurry. I'm trying to hurry. I thought of three examples of that. Illustration of the lust of the flesh. Samson was a man that could not control his flesh.
Amen.
He was eat up with patronizing women.
Amen.
The lust of the flesh. He had to have those strange women.
Amen.
They put him on a mill, grinding in a mill over the Philistines, which, by the way, the Philistines are a type of the flesh.
Amen.
And then I thought about Lot. When he looked toward the well-watered plains of the Jordan Valley, then I saw that it was rich and a place good to raise cattle. And he told Abraham, said, Uncle Abraham, if you don't mind, I think I'll go down here where I can raise my cattle. You can have this dry and barren land up here. I'm going down into Sodom. Because it's lush and well watered and I can raise my cattle. Abraham said, oh, it's all right, you can have the water down there. I'll take the desert up here. Because where you got water down there, I've got wells. And I've got wells of living water. There was one man that lusted after the flesh, another man that lusted after the eyes. And here is David, been king over Israel for almost 40 years. Amen. Almost 40 years. And he said, Joab, go number the people.
Yep.
Joab said, my king, my lord, the king, there's no need for that. God has multiplied you. Go number them. I want to know how many subjects I have living under me. I'm telling you, pride. Pride. You hear what I'm saying? The lust of the flesh can be conquered. The lust of the eyes can be conquered. But I'm here to... And they only encompass a few things. But pride takes in the whole sphere of the fallen nature. Because it takes after the father, the devil, who was swollen with pride. I hope somebody's getting something out of this. I'm trying to preach my heart out to you. I want you to notice a caution here. And I'm talking about being separated from the world. I want you to notice a caution here. There is a strictness. Notice now. There is a strictness which arises from ignorance rather than knowledge. You can be strict and be ignorant rather than having knowledge. And self-denial, which is the fruit of fanaticism. The monks separated themselves, but they were fanatics. God didn't say isolate. He said insulate.
Amen.
Fanaticism rather than spirituality. In other words, you can take self. I'm not going to do this. I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to do this. I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to do that. And all it is fanaticism, not spirituality.
Amen.
To be wholly concerned about externals is to gratify the spirit of self-righteousness. Oh, I don't dance. I don't drink. I don't go to Hollywood. I don't smoke, chew, and I don't run with the people that do. What about that arrogance in your heart?
Amen.
What about that pride in your heart? What about that lazy prayer life and lazy Bible life in your heart?
Amen.
So you can be strict and be ignorant. Amen. You can be in self-denial and be a fanatic about it, and not be spiritual at all.
Amen.
And most people that brag about being spiritual are more carnal than the devil.
Amen.
Now, this to satisfy, gratify the spirit of self-righteousness. For it is possible to starve the body while feeding let us think on that.
Amen.
My last point in verse number 17. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but I see a commandment, I see a certainty, but I also see a contrast.
Woo!
Amen. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but God.
Amen.
Thank God for that little three-letter world. But! He that doeth the will of God
Amen.
Abideth forever. The thought here is that the world will just pass along and finally come to destruction. But he that doeth the will of God is as stable as the Lord Himself
Amen.
Because He is an eternal being. I want to read you this scripture. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Amen.
Seeing then that all these things, A-double-L, these things be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless,
woo!
Never,
woo! Nevertheless, the heavens and the earth are going to melt and be dissolved, but nevertheless,
we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Amen.
Praise God. There's another side of the world. There's coming a righteous day. A holy day. A wonderful day. A joyful day. A blessed day. Now I mentioned commandment. I mentioned certainty. I mentioned contrast. This last point is the other side of the world, and that's Christ.
Amen.
Woo! Somebody said, what's He do? He saves!
Amen.
Jesus saves! Jesus saves!
Amen.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. God, I can about take a lap right now. Woo! My eyes were blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Jesus says, I was lost, but I'm glad He found me.
Amen.
Like that little lost sheep, He come to where I was.
Amen.
With tender hands, He lifted me.
Amen.
Amen. In love and mercy, God lifted me.
Amen.
From the depths of sin and shame, He lifted me.
Amen.
He set my feet on a higher plane. Thank God He lifted me.
Amen.
Jesus cleanses the lepers. Opens the eyes of the blind. That's the other side of the world. God takes lives that are entangled in sin and all messed up and can't get out. He'll take a life that's all messed up and straighten it out. Won't He, babe? You believe He straightened my life out, any? Hey, be careful. You'll make me run the pew short of the world. Praise God.
Amen.
This old boy remembers where he was and how God worked
Amen.
In my life.
Oh,
be dead. Now, I wasn't fit to kill.
Amen.
Hey, I'm telling you the truth. I wasn't fit to take out and blow my dragon brains out. I wasn't. But God in mercy looked down where I was wandering around in this old world, just tangled up in the world and sin. Was blind, didn't know where I was going, but one day. It wasn't on the road to Damascus, but was on the road to hell.
Amen.
I saw a light as bright as a new day sun. Thank God.
Amen.
He said, ho, ho. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks?
Yeah.
You'll catch that after a while.
Amen.
Woo! Amen to God.
Yep.
Jesus saves.
Amen.
They say that Jesus sanctifies. Then He'll make you holy.
Amen.
Somebody said, you don't look very holy. You ain't God.
Amen.
That's in the eyes of the beholder.
Amen.
There is such a thing as imputed righteousness.
Amen.
God just said, Josh, you're righteous.
Amen.
Somebody might say, now, well, he don't look and live and act very righteous to me. Well, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?
Amen.
It's God that justifies.
Amen.
In other words, who can criticize God for what God's done?
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
He can take the unholy and make it holy.
Amen.
He can take the unholy and make it holy.
Amen.
And He makes it holy by plugging up all the holes. You'll catch that, Brother Drummond. Don't you say amen on that. The other side of the world is Christ. He saves. He sanctifies. He succors us in times of temptation. He nourishes us when we're tempted. Oh, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted with God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man, but every man is tempted when he's brought away of what? Oh, lust. And enticed. Come along with me. Come on. Come on, little son. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
That's the devil. Come on. Come on. I know sin's pretty. Bite the apple. But be careful. It's got about a three-pronged fish hook in it.
Amen.
He says, what have I done? He gave it to Adam and said, you better take a bite of this. And for his love for her, he did. That's exactly what Christ done on the cross.
Amen.
It was not that death should hold him.
Yeah.
In him was no death.
Yeah.
But he humbled himself and died, ladies and gentlemen, to come to where you and I were so he can take us to where he is.
Amen.
And finally, I'm done here. He satisfies.
Amen.
Woo! I'm satisfied with Jesus. I find no fault in Him. Now, if I'd have thought that hot cinnamon thing Jerome left up here to make me burnt the pews a little bit, I'd eat it while I was preaching this morning.
Amen.
But there's another side to the world, and it's Christ.
Amen.
We're in the world, but we're not of the world. He came into the world to take us out of the world.
Amen.
He came into the world that He might deliver us from this present evil world.
Amen.
What about that?
Amen.
That's why we're to love not the world,
Amen.
Neither the things that are in the world, but stand together.